This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the whole show. Brady out today. Mike Dance in here along with the dude down the hall, as he's known here. I know him as Derbs, but he's here along with us.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, and we're going to head straight to the Nuggets press conference, end of the season press conference with the owners to start here.
Yeah, winning is a lifestyle, and if you're not eating, sleeping, and breathing it on a daily basis, it can catch up with you. So I agree with Nicola that winning is a lifestyle, and I understand what he means when he says it.
Josh, in 2024, while discussing the second apron and the luxury tax, you said when Jokic is on your roster, you're going for it. You have the best player in the world. We have a responsibility to him to try and go for it. But this year, your priority at the deadline seemed to be avoiding the tax. How do you reconcile those things, and what should the fan base expect with regards to the tax next season?
I think that when discussing the tax, you're also talking about flexibility. And so when you sit here and you talk about our team salary, what we did last summer, and I give a lot of credit to our front office, was we finally broke up the core, you could say, of players that provided the first championship in Denver Nuggets history. I think when the rules around the league and the system changed, we had to take a hard look at where we'd committed ourselves from a salary standpoint. And understanding that having three max players probably was not something that was going to be continuous for us going forward. Love Michael as a person, love Michael as a player. But that was something we felt the organization needed to do to maintain a roster going forward to establish more depth. And so when you make that trade last summer and you do wind up able to establish more depth, you head into the deadline in a place where you're right around that tax line, and we sat and we looked at different ideas for the organization to improve at that point in time, but we didn't see anything that was going to be a real needle mover for us. Not only that, are you using up potential future assets to go chase something that might not make sense short, or might make sense in the short term, but doesn't make sense for you long term. And so my job as an organization is to look at everything, and I don't think we made ourselves any worse what we did at the deadline. I mean, I think that if our team was healthy for the entire season, we wouldn't have needed to do anything at the deadline. So I have to be responsible on all angles. And to me, that was more of a move to preserve flexibility than anything.
And going forward, you know, what do the fans expect with regards to the tax season?
I think that everything's on the table right now, including running it back. I think that, you know, from my perspective, when I sit here and think about where we were 12 months ago, I think we've made really strong strides in certain areas. I think there's other areas where I think we've either been complacent. I don't want to say that we've regressed, but complacency would be a key word that I think I saw in some areas in some people this year. So there's going to be some challenges. Absolutely. I think that, you know, I don't want to be masked in my frustration for how the season ended. I think that, you know, anybody that was a fan of the Denver Nuggets should be frustrated. And anything that a fan feels, I probably feel it 1,000x. So I think that, you know, everything is going to be on the table. Outside of trading Nicola, I should be clear because my words got twisted in an interesting way last summer. But, yeah, I think everything's on the table outside of trading Nicola. I think we need to have running it back as a possibility. I think this season was, in a lot of ways, the season that never was. Because this group never fully got a chance to show any kind of rhythm. When you're going to have the amount of turnover and change that we did last year, I think, you know, these three guys did a hell of a job. But to establish any kind of a rhythm, and basketball is a rhythm game, I think, the group as a whole never had a chance to fully do that. And I think that a microcosm of our season is almost Nikola before and after the injury. You know, he was one player before, and when you come back, he was still incredible in so many facets, but for some reason, his three-point shot left him. And that's, whether or not you believe me, I do believe that basketball is a rhythm game, and as a team as a whole, never had a chance to fully establish a rhythm, and that truly showed up when the games mattered in April.
Question for John and Ben. Everyone's dealing with soft tissue injuries around the league, but given the injury problems over the last couple of seasons, has there been thought to adding resources, changing resources, any sort of changes to the training and development staff from that perspective?
Yes and no. At this point, you know, it's been so fresh since the last game. Right now, kind of looking at it from an accountability standpoint, we haven't had a chance to sit down with the guys right now and kind of go through what's happened, kind of what their off-season situation is and kind of their process into getting back for the season. But like Josh said before, everything's on the table. We've got to take a deeper dive and look and kind of see where those ailments are coming from and kind of put it on these guys to kind of make sure they have themselves in shape, ready to play when the season starts.
This is for Josh. What do you say to fans who see reports that say, you know, you might consider trading a guy named Mr. Nugget, while at the exact same time you brought back a coach who fans booed before a home playoff game?
I assume you're referring to Aaron Gordon.
Yes.
Okay. I don't really deal in nicknames. I deal with regular names. I apologize. I would say that anybody thinking that doesn't know the rhythm of what goes along inside these walls at times. I have full faith in Coach Adelman. I think he coached a hell of a season, all things considered. I think anybody saying something like that is speaking from a place of emotion. And I would say that my job in this organization is to help make decisions without emotion. I love Aaron Gordon. I know that I think the world of him, just like the entire Nuggets Nation does. But there are some things that we're going to have to look at. This team looks a lot different when Aaron Gordon's healthy. I think everybody can acknowledge that. And so we need a healthy Aaron Gordon, and so we need to help figure out how to make the most of him and get the most out of his body for the benefit of the team. That's for sure.
This is for Josh and John and Ben. After the team was called out by Jaden McDaniels by name, and even by Coach Chris Finch calling Jokic and Nikola and Jamal floppers, what was your reaction to the team's response to games 3 and 4 in Minnesota? And did it indicate that there was an issue either on or off the court with the fabric or the culture in terms of leadership?
No, I mean, what Jaden said, that's what he believed. I think our guys aren't the type to necessarily just retaliate in the moment verbally through the media. I think we came in with the right game plan, with the right mindset. They kind of got downhill, got some momentum going. They were the aggressors in game 3 and 4. I don't think that's indicative of kind of the mentality of where we were. That's just kind of what happened. I think we kind of tried to throw a couple different defenses, different looks at them to kind of slow them down. But, you know, inevitably they got the better side of us.
Did you sense an issue, Josh, in the way they responded? And did, when you look at how Minnesota's eliminated you in Oklahoma City, are you lacking in athleticism or length? Because the two-man game just has not been the same in the playoffs against those specific teams that have knocked you out.
Yeah, again, I wish we had a full roster, but that's not the case. And so I must face reality and try to think through and sift through with these guys where the answers might lie. But, yeah, absolutely. I think we were all frustrated by the physicality shown at different times, and can we meet that? But, you know, to specific, you know, your question, I'm not 100% sure. We have a very competitive group, and I believe in their collective competitiveness for sure.
Okay. Given this offseason ahead, where you could run it all back or you could make significant change, I just want to know how that's going to work. And my premise for asking the question I'd like to hear from John and Ben and you, Josh, is when your peers voted on executive of the year, you got 2 votes, Josh. So if you're deciding whether to trade a key player or run it back, how does that process work among the three of you?
I would just say, you know, we all have a really good relationship and we work really well together. So it'll be a collective group decision on all those things. We have a great front office group and strategic group. And so, you know, we'll look at everything and we'll meet and we'll talk about it.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, trying to read between the lines of your questioning, I would say that, you know, we're a very collective group. And, you know, dating back to even last summer, I think there's, you know, when people think about how decisions get made, we very much discuss them for several days as a group before we really start to zero in on what we want to do. You know, there was a major trade we made last summer where, I won't name names, I wasn't involved with the talks directly, he wasn't involved with the talks directly, and John wasn't involved in the talks directly. It was one of our assistant general managers. And those conversations come about organically. Then we start to realize this might be something that we want to do. Let's meet as a group. Let's put our heads together from all of our different perspectives. And that's how we arrive at the best decisions we feel for the team. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing again this summer, is combing through everything, bouncing ideas off of one another, and then figuring out the best direction we feel is the right direction for the team.
So you don't have to read between the lines. Mm-hmm. And this is with respect to all three of you. Josh, are you the de facto GM, or what is your role?
No, I mean, I'm the president of the team. I've been in the same role since 2010. And whether that was Masai Ujiri, whether that was Tim Connolly, whether that was Calvin Booth, whether that's these guys, I'm always going to be there, you know, around listening and trying to help shape the direction of the franchise. Absolutely.
Josh, just to put a finer point.
I know who voted for me, by the way, and it was a joke. It was an inside joke with a mutual friend. And I rolled my eyes and said, "You're going to create hell for me." But he thought it was really funny. Yeah. No, it was not. It was it's another mutual friend. And we have a lot of inside jokes around in our different roles, and a lot of respect for the other people around the different roles in the league.
Josh, just to put a finer point on the luxury tax topic right now, you guys have one more year where you would need to be under it for your repeater clock. Mm-hmm. I think Kevin alluded to maybe wanting to avoid the repeater around the trade deadline. Just is that kind of where you guys are at as far as do you want to avoid that for repeater purposes next season?
Back to my original answer, I think everything's on the table. I think that the responsible thing to do at that moment in time, if there wasn't a huge move we saw that could strengthen the roster, was to put ourselves in position to do that. But if we deem running it back the most competitive thing that we can do for the roster, that's probably what we're going to be doing. So, you know, I don't want to put words in my dad's mouth by any means, but, you know, he has owned the team for a very long time. We've run it aggressively as we can at different points in time. I think the joke is always we love to pay for talent on the floor. So leaning into that assessment.
Derbs and I here, Mike Danson, Dustin Urbis, were in for Brady today. You were listening to the Nuggets ownership press conference there. We're going to take a break here, and Derbs and I are going to get our thoughts together, and we'll come back and respond to what we heard there. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 103.1 KFKA.
Is almost here. Join Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint for Rodeo Radio this June in Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. Dustin Urbis, Mike Danson in for Brady today as he is taking a well-deserved day off. If you want to join the conversation, the text line 888-530-0043. Join in the conversation with us here. A couple of things that I wrote down during the owner's press conference there that I want to talk to you about, Derbs, is there was a lot of talk of not being a healthy team. And I look at it and I go, the Lakers haven't been healthy all year. You lost to the Timberwolves, who were not healthy when you lost to them. Like, at that level, complaining about being an injured team is not something that goes over well with me.
Yeah, I sit in the same boat there. Just at times, you know, there were a couple of questions there that were brought up on the aggressive side of the nature of the players that did play. And there was just more disappointment. So when you have players that are injured and you have players that you don't think are a full go, or I personally maybe just not talented enough to be out there and play the same style that they want to play, makes me think that they need to do something. They need to fix something. They need to address something. They can't just kind of think it's going to be the Nikola Jokic scene and everything's just going to be fine.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into the next thing I wrote down, and they mentioned it during the press conference there, is the word complacency. Hmm. And sitting pat with this team and running it back, to me, would show complacency within the whole organization, because I've never been a Jamal Murray fan. Just the roller coaster ride is not something that I'm in for. You never know what you're going to get night to night. Where do you stand with the complacency? Like, that word really stood out to me.
Yeah, I thought that was a very, very interesting statement. To me, it stood into, like, we don't believe that we're a championship team. It stood out to me like, we got here. This is cool. If we lose this round, they're a tough opponent. They always give us fits. Like, it's just kind of like, dang, we'll try again next year. Like, it didn't bring, like, there wasn't enough disappointment to me when you say the word complacency.
Yeah, and for me, it's a question I asked you as we were kind of BSing before we came on the air is, and maybe this is the way that I should have asked you, is Nikola Jokic is complacent, don't you think? Like, I asked you if I thought he cared to be out there, or if he would rather just be done and go to Serbia and race his horses. But complacency is probably a better term for what I see out of Jokic.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, he's the type of player to me that when things are going well and things are rolling, he's hyper into it. And then you get the injuries, and then, like, I think he just expects excellence from everyone. So then you bring in a lot of these other guys, you know, that are going to make mistakes. They're not going to be in the right spot. They don't catch the ball in the dunker position. They don't shoot the open three because they're scared. Like, it's those things, I think, that just kind of creep into him, and then they frustrate him, and then he's just like, what else do I got to do here? I'm just, what do we have?
Yeah, I can't do everything out here.
And then he tried to. I think it was game 2 or game 3. I mean, I think he shot the ball close to near 30 times, which is just not his style of thing. And I think that's where all of these things creep in, is I don't think they're far away, but I think that they're just guys away. They're a couple, like, dogs away. They're a couple athletes away, where maybe it is just the soft tissue injuries to some of the guys, and you put them back out there and they're healthy, that makes a difference. But it just leaves a lot of doubt right now. I don't have a lot of confidence in running it back.
Well, it didn't sound like the ownership really had a lot of confidence in what way they were going to go either. There wasn't, and I know it's really early in the off season here, so they have plenty of time, but it really seemed like they were kind of getting the same question over and over again. But it didn't seem that they were very confident in either way.
Yeah, they used the term "everything's on the table" multiple times, and that goes to the training staff, that went to the on court, that went to the luxury tax. All options. Do they add more players to go into that tax? I think they were 1 year away from, if they stay under the luxury tax, they go into more benefits. Of money expanded into a roster where I think they can bring in another player. And then it's, instead of having the 3 max players, the 4 max players, kind of like what Boston did with Tatum, White, Porzingis, and I can't remember the other player that they had, but they were all over that luxury tax, but one of them fits underneath it because of the how many years that they were out of the luxury tax. I'll still
weird system.
Yeah, I'll still never understand all of that. But that might give them some more flexibility as well if they choose to do that. But then you're throwing away another year that you might not know how many you got left out of Nikola Jokic. That do we want to not put the best on the court just for the money reasons?
Well, and especially you can't rely. He was injured for a significant amount of time this year. You can't rely on him being healthy as he ages. That's not something. What else have you got in your notes there?
Yeah, I wrote down Josh Kroenke specifically said rhythm of the team. And I, as a very small hooper playing days back a long time ago, I do also believe in rhythm. I think that's a real thing. So continuity is a big portion of that. And I spoke a little bit on it earlier, is when you replace guys in the lineup and then you have multiple at a time where they're not in the right spots, or they're not confident, they're not as good of an athlete. There's a reason they're the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th guy on the bench.
Yeah.
Like when you're getting them significant minutes, like it's a downgrade. No matter how well they play some nights and how poor they play other nights, it's a downgrade. And so having... I health is the big thing here. So I don't know what to do. To me, I think you have to do something. There's got to be something that needs to be done here. So rhythm is a real thing, but I still think that's not everything to this.
Yeah, and if you had to choose which one of the players would go, like if we're looking at it and going, okay, it's Jamal Murray or it's Aaron Gordon that we're going to move on from, because those are the two realistic options, and that gets you the ability to sign Peyton Watson, correct? So which one of those would you lean towards? Because that's going to be the main piece of the whatever trade you were to make.
To me, it's Jamal Murray, just because, not that he's irreplaceable, not that he's not a good player overall. I just think you can replace his minutes in the style of play with Nikola Jokic with... like you can almost replace him with any kind of point guard to run that two-man game. They might not be the most efficient... as Jamal was, being able to pass out of it, being able to shoot out of it, create shots out of it. But you can replace those with almost any guard out there. Derek White's, the Io DeSumo's even. Like honestly, you could put Julian Strother out there. And you're not going to see the same production, but you're going to see the same style. Like I think he's the easily more replaceable than Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon, to me, is the type of guy that we need. We need the physical. We need to be able to defend multiple positions, be able to offensively hold the load sometimes. He's just the more NBA stylistic player you're looking for anymore.
I thought it was interesting also when the Jaden McDaniels comments were brought up, that they were talking more about like physicality and stuff like that. And when I heard that, those comments, like to me, it was more like just dogging on the defense, like that this is a team that doesn't play defense. And that's, for me, that I think is the biggest thing the Nuggets need to get better at, is because that rim protector, you really need somebody in there that can scare off those layups that are coming in.
Yeah, the straight line drives were a problem. You saw it also. I mean, Terrence Shannon Jr., I mean, he's their ninth guy off the bench, yeah, just absolutely dominated. I mean, he didn't do anything else but run by guys and try to dunk the ball. So I totally agree with you there. Yeah, then that's why I think if you were to, you know, get rid of a Jamal Murray for a couple of wings, or you know, a stretch four that isn't afraid to be in the paint, that can play alongside and or play by himself without Nikola Jokic on the floor, I think it is what this team needs. And I don't think we need more guards. We need more wings. We need more big guys. We need more defensive ability. Because the offense will always be efficient with Nikola Jokic. That will never, ever be a question.
Yeah, and that I completely agree with that. The defensive end, like, it's amazing to me, like, if for a guy who doesn't really jump, like, the amount of rebounds that he's able to pick off is absolutely amazing. Did you have anything else on your notes there from the press conference?
The only thing else that I thought was interesting, that they said that winning is a lifestyle. I thought that was kind of like a culture thing that maybe that they ought to put in the locker rooms a little bit more as like a motivator, you know, like the Notre Dame play like a champion today.
Yeah.
Like billboard that everywhere is what I would do, because I don't think that they went to every game saying winning is a lifestyle. Like, they think, I thought that some of the games throughout the course of the year that they just assumed that they were going to win games and then they would be in closer dogfights at the end, that they actually had to battle against the, like, the Utah Jazzes and the Memphis Grizzlies when they're playing like G League players.
Yeah.
Like, those are the nights that you got to bring it. You put the foot on the throats and you go. And I didn't see that as much as I'd like.
Well, and I think that kind of plays into the same kind of thing where winning breeds winning. You know, when I was coaching high school football, we started out as a team that wasn't really winning. You miss the playoffs 1 year, the next year you're in the playoffs, the next year you're in the state championship. You know, yep. It just builds on each other, and nobody that comes in wants to let down what has been built. And I think that I think Jokic is the guy who is there, but this gets into the Christian Brown thing that, you know, I was kind of arguing with Brady over the text line yesterday. Like, somebody has to step up and be that leader. And I personally loved what Christian Brown did. I know that you're kind of on that Christian Brown side also.
Yeah, and that's where some of the interview parts, you know, when you talked about complacency, like, these two things kind of battle each other, where they need somebody to be that person. I don't care if it's the 12th man or if it's Nikola Jokic. Like, somewhere in between, somebody has to be the guy that's going to hold everybody else accountable. When we were off air, Mike, I used the example of Gabe Landeskog. Like, when he is off the ice, the Avalanche are a different team. And when he is on the ice, they're incredible. Like, it's somebody on that team needs to be like, hey, I didn't see in the weight room today. Hey, why were you running at 70% today when we know we can give it to you? You hurting? You feel okay? Can we help you? Like, somebody's got to hold somebody else accountable there.
And you can be a vocal leader without being the leader.
Yeah,
isn't that what Christian Brown is supposed to be? The vocal leader?
And that's what, and this is where I was arguing with Brady yesterday, is when I was coaching, and I understand this is completely different, high school football, and we're talking about the NBA, but I would take anybody that would step up and encourage even another player, because that shows a little bit of leadership, and that's a key thing. Every team needs somebody that's willing and able to step in there and say, hey, we're not giving our best effort on this one.
Yeah, 100%. I think Nikola Jokic does it by example. The dude's a weight room maholic. I mean, he's there early, he's there late, he's there rehabbing, he's there, you know, treating his body as best as he can so that he can play the 40 minutes a night. I think he does it by example, but he's not saying, you know, hey, Jamal, like, are you okay? Why did you give it 60% tonight?
Yeah.
Why are we running through the motions on the back to the back? Did you need a rest? Like, he's not that guy. So I think somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. And I appreciate somebody stepping up and taking. We got our first text here. Derbs, Eastside Chris says, fellas, I've been on the Banchero wagon. Could we trade Jamal and Gordon?
Boy, that's interesting. I'm sure the Magic are really going to like Paolo. I mean, he had a good first round. I know they got bounced there, but he's one of the rising bright stars that it's going to take a pretty big package to land him here.
Especially a team that has been down for so long and they're finally kind of on the upswing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they're going to go, yeah, let's get rid of one of these guys that's starting our upswing.
And he's probably still on a rookie deal, too, to where that's going to be incredibly hard to make the money work, where Jamal's making 40 a year and he's making 9.
Yeah.
You got to make that up elsewhere, and I don't think that'll ever come out too even, I don't think.
Yeah, you're not going to send the cash consideration with that much to a team. So, all right, Derbs, let's hop out, grab a break here. We'll come back, and lots of Avalanche talk in the future, some more Nuggets talk, some Rockies talk, and whatever else we come up. And don't forget, we have our movie review in the third hour of Bull Durham.
I'm looking forward to that. That's still every time I watch it, it's great.
Yeah, I love that movie. I kind of know where we're going with that one at this point. You're listening to The Whole Show with Dustin Urbis, Mike Danson filling in for Brady today on, what do we got here? 1310, 103.1 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Welcome back into The Hull Show. Dustin Urbis, Mike Danson here with you today as Brady is out. If you want to join the conversation, 888-530-0043. That is the text line. Reach out, join us, help us out, get through these 3 hours here. Some big news coming through for the Broncos as they signed GM George Payton to a 5-year deal. His contract was almost up here, and they ink him to a 5-year deal.
I think that's a good sign. I don't have any ill things towards the Payton era. I think he's done a fine job. Obviously, you know, you got a team that hasn't made the playoffs in quite some time to now we're up and ups and thinking that we're a real contender. So I see no problem with inking him for another 5 years here.
No, I really like this for the Broncos. I am a Vikings fan, just being honest here. And he was with the Vikings before he came to the Broncos.
Wasn't he the assistant?
He was the assistant GM for the Minnesota Vikings, was hired by the Broncos. I know Minnesota is looking for a GM as we speak, and this was a name that was on the list that they were going to be looking at potentially bringing in with his contract getting close to expire. That's not going to happen anymore. The one thing I think, George Payton, he took the job, and that's right when the whole Russell Wilson thing went down, and that kind of, you know, put a red mark next to him. But the draft, I think he has done a fantastic job of drafting players, building depth for the Broncos, a team that's on the rise, and you ink a guy who's the architect.
Yeah, everything you just stated there, I'm full on board with. I was just trying to think while you were speaking of one thing that I would take away from George Payton and be like, you know what, he's done a poor job at this. And I honestly, I can't come up with one. I can't come up with a player. I can't come up with, you know, he's overpaid for a player. I can't come up with anything. So I guess I'm just full on board with this. Let's go. Let's try to get some momentum into next year and ready to roll.
Yeah, it looks like we have the Lonster on the line here, Derbs. He's calling in even to talk to us today.
Let's go.
Lonnie, how you doing?
Hey, doing good. How you guys doing?
Wonderful, man.
We're doing great.
What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, hey, it's great to have you guys on the air.
Appreciate you.
Are you saying you're tired of Brady?
Brady is blocking you.
Yeah. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, Lonnie.
Well, no, it's just a refreshing not to hear from one of your networks there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, we'll always try to keep it as local as we can. It's what we love here.
Yeah, so I know the thing to do here, Lonnie, is we're supposed to ask you what you have going on for lunch today.
You know what? I went and had an early breakfast. I went for an early breakfast today, so no lunch.
That's new. What do we have for breakfast?
Oh, I had sausage, eggs, and hash brown casserole and biscuits.
That sounds awesome.
That sounds pretty dang good to me.
What you got for us, Lonnie? What's on your mind here?
Well, I'm glad you asked. You know, I listened to part of that conference, and I think that we need to get rid of Jamar McMurray. I have never been a fan of his at times.
Yeah, that seems to be a growing sentiment across Nuggets fandom here, is that if we're going to get rid of a guy to shake things up, that seems to be Jamal Murray's name is the top of that list right now.
Yeah, because, well, I noticed, too, when he gets fouled, he goes to the free-throw line, he has a chance to at least try to win a game. He misses more free throws than anybody I know of. And that's what kills us right there, is that we had a chance to win it, but thanks to his miss, we don't win it.
He's definitely a streaky kind of guy. Like, there's nights where he can make everything, and then there's nights where he can't make anything.
Mm-hmm. And I have never forgave him when he threw that heating pad on the court.
Yeah, that was a tough scene for him there. Yeah, you gotta let it got the best of him there.
Yeah, it really did.
Well, Lonster, appreciate you calling in. We thanks for tuning in, for one, as you always do. And hopefully the Denver Nuggets do a little bit more for the fans here and get a product on the floor that we all want to see.
yeah, maybe get a player or get a coach in there that can help him maybe get him motivated too. I think he needs to get somebody that would help him get motivated a little bit more too.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, thanks for calling in, Lonnie. Good to hear from you.
Hey, thank you, and you guys have a good weekend.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So that brings up something that, you know, I don't think has been one of the questions during the interview was, or the press conference was about not moving on from a coach or keeping that coach in place. Where do you stand with Adelman as the coach?
I'm okay with David Adelman. First year coach, he probably had some moments where he could be better, had some moments where he could be a little more fiery. But I think those are all learning curves. I don't think you can, especially where the state of the Nuggets is, I don't think you can move on from him right away. Like, I feel like if you were going to do that, you should have just done that last year. Like, if you wanted another Michael Malone type, then you should have just went and got another Michael Malone type. Instead, you went this direction. You just can't let 1 year go and say, nah, geez, we actually didn't want you. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And that's where I was kind of leaning. Apparently, I was reading an article that they talked about how the reason they got rid of Michael Malone is because they were afraid of losing Adelman at that point. But he's been under Malone for so long, you're going to kind of have a lot of the same things going on. And if you feel like you need new blood, new fresh voices in the room, going with somebody who was on the staff may not have been the best choice.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't – I really don't think he did that poor of a job. I mean,
me either.
When you're dealt with the health, you're dealt with, you know, your star player gone for a month and a half. What do you expect from the guy? Like, he's not out there. Like, you can only play the players that are in front of you. There's only so many Spencer Joneses in the world that are going to go out there that, like, some of those guys just should never see the light of the day on the court.
Yeah.
And when you're losing three or four players a night, like, I don't think that's on the coach. Still win 50-plus ball games. You still make the playoffs. Disappointing effort in the playoffs, but it was just kind of their whole season. The whole season was just meh of what were they supposed to do? You know, we have championship expectations, but when you don't have championship players on the floor, that's a hard task for me.
And that's exactly where I was going to go, is the expectations were so high coming into the season with the additions that they made. And then for it to kind of end the way that it did, it's just not a great thing. Hey, Micah over there, you being the biggest Broncos fan that I know, where are you at with the GM George Payton getting a new 5-year contract?
I love it. Other than the Russell Wilson debacle,
yeah.
Which nobody outside of Seattle saw coming. And I think a lot of people in Denver hated the automatic contract extension. A lot of people, that was the only thing I hated about him. Everything else, he's done really well in the draft. I like this draft. I think he addressed all the needs. Yeah, I know. So many, you know, low third day draft picks. Like, a lot of them aren't going to make the team, but like, he is at least going for what the Broncos need. And I think he's just talented and great at what he does. And this is his natural position. Yeah. And I want him here forever.
And the only real blunder with the Russell Wilson thing is the contract, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you bring him in and it doesn't work out and then he's gone, like, that's fine. The blunder was the contract in the long run.
It was also the guy that you could say headline digging them out of that, too, other than the ownership just forking over more money.
Yeah.
You still had to bring in the guy, still had to draft Bo Nix, still had to draft your guy to get you to where you are today. So you can say the Russell Wilson thing was a problem, but he also dug him out of that. I just remembered how excited everybody was when that Russell Wilson news hit the headlines. Yeah. Like, everyone was pumped. So I was all on board, and it just turned out he's just not very good at football anymore.
Hindsight's always 20/20, right? All right, you're listening to The Whole Show. We'll grab our last break of the first hour here. Dustin Urbis, Mike Danson in. Listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Saturdays, four code words, one big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman, Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby.
Welcome back into the whole show. Mike Danson and Dustin Urbis in for Brady today as he's taking a day off. If you want to join the conversation, 888-530-0043. Shoot us a text and we'll talk about it on the air here. We got about 3.5 minutes or so. Derbs, let's jump into the NBA playoffs a little bit. Philadelphia and the Knicks, that series, it's 2-0 for the Knicks. Jalen Brunson is an absolute beast.
Yeah, the Knicks just are, they're an interesting team. They kind of have it all. They like that's what my team would want to be constructed like. You got a solid point guard scorer. You have Karl Anthony Towns, the stretch five, and then three wings that just defend between Bridges and Ananobi. I know he got beat up on with a hamstring injury. And Josh Hart. But that's kind of how I want my team to go these days.
Yeah, and besides Josh Hart, the rest of those guys can shoot the ball lights out.
Very They're skilled.
Very good shooters. All right. The other series in the Eastern Conference is Cleveland and Detroit. Detroit up 2-0 in that series also.
That's an ugly series. Detroit plays ugly basketball, like old Pistons basketball.
I love
it. And I'm here for it. Yeah. Cade Cunningham is a rising star for NBA fans that are starving for some basketball without the Nuggets playing. I encourage you to watch some Pistons ball with Cade Cunningham. He's special.
Yeah, and Detroit is a team that kind of struggled in that first round a little bit, but they seem to have found their way here in the second round. Yeah. One of the series in the Western Conference, the Timberwolves and Spurs. This series is tied at 1, heading back to Minnesota, I think, tonight.
Yeah, the Minnesota steals game 1, which was a complete shock to me. I thought that maybe the Nuggets series would be like the Super Bowl for them, and they would kind of just ride off into the sunset. But yeah, they came out firing, and then they got blasted pretty good the other night in San Antonio. It'd be an interesting game. 3 is a big one.
Yeah, they're a super feisty team with a lot of experience at this point. I wonder how much that experience is going to play a part in this series without the Spurs really having that playoff experience.
Yeah, they got to take advantage of the young guys, especially. I mean, even Wemby is still the young guy, but Castle, they have De'Aaron Fox on there. He doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, but he's a vet kind of guy. Also, kind of how I would like my team to be constructed. They're great guards, two good wings. Everybody on the perimeter can shoot it. Very, very good.
And starting a team with Wembanyama is not a bad thing.
Yeah, so. You can't go wrong there. Yeah.
And the final series in the Western Conference, the Lakers are down 2-0 to Oklahoma City. They just continue to do what they do.
Yeah, they just foul every time. I just get sick of hearing it. They had a massive blow up. I guess Austin Reeves was just giving it to a referee at the end of the night for calling him names and how he treated him on the court, which I think is just a wildly disrespectful thing. And then, you know, every post-game conference in that series is just, well, they grab our jerseys, they twist our knees, they foul us when we go up, and we don't get any calls, and that's just how it is. They list it as they play physical, you can play physical too, and blah, 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 and that's how it's going
to
be.
Well, it's interesting to me that the Lakers are the ones doing this, a team that we all know has got away with tons of stuff over the past year.
Yeah, 100%. That's just you. You gotta probably pay me to watch that series, to be honest. Yeah.
So hour two coming up, we're gonna dive a lot into the Avalanche, a little bit of Rockies, and then in the third hour we have our movie review of Bull Durham. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.